The Green Bay Packers may be off until training camp, but there's still football being played north of the border. We welcome onto the show Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada to find out what's happening to former Packers in the Canadian Football League. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning on Canada Day, July 1st, where they're celebrating their independence north of the border. And appropriately to commemorate that, we have joining us on the show, Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada. I talked to him in a pre-recorded interview where we talk about former Packers players currently in the CFL, find out what's going on there. I just thought the timing was appropriate, seeing as there's no football being played in America right now. So the timing was apropos. Sit back and enjoy, and we talk a little American football in the Great Blue North.
Expert interview.
Right now, we're talking to Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Andrew, happy Canada Day.
Hey, thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for coming back on the show and talking a little Canadian Football League with some Green Bay Packers connections. And to kick the show off here, what's the word on B.J. Coleman? He now plays for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. We know him here as one of Aaron Rodgers' former backups in Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. B.J. Coleman's an interesting story because he only signed with Saskatchewan this January, and yet he's already their main backup behind Darian Durant. Often it takes quarterbacks in particular a little longer to learn the CFL game, given that there's so many differences with it being a bigger field, three downs, 12 guys aside. Coleman has impressed. He did well in the preseason, and he's number two on their depth chart right now. So if anything does happen to Darian Durant, who's the real established, proven starter there but has had some health issues, Coleman would be the guy to step in.
Well, good to hear he's doing well there. And sticking to the topic of quarterbacks, I see another former Packers QB, Henry Burris, who at one point backed up Brett Favre quite a few years ago. I'm stunned to see he's still on the Ottawa Redblacks roster. How much time does he have left?
Well, it all depends on the day. Last year at age 40, Henry Burris had the best season of his CFL career. He threw for over 5,000 yards. He won the league's most outstanding player, sort of the equivalent of MVP, and he was just the most dominant quarterback in this league and took the Ottawa Redblacks all the way to the Grey Cup. This year, though, he's already hurt himself. He got hurt in the season opener last week, and now he's been placed on the six-game injury list with an injury to his pinky finger. And the problem is it may be in a bit of a fight for his job when he comes back, because in the offseason, the Redblacks got another really good quarterback in Trevor Harris, who used to be a starter with the Toronto Argonauts. The plan was that Harris would sort of learn under Burris this year, be a capable backup, and then take over for next year. But Harris is so good that if he plays really well, it may be a bit of a fight for Burris when he comes back. But Burris at age 41, he's still playing well so far when healthy, and he may be a key figure for Ottawa later this year. I think a lot of that's going to depend on how Harris plays while he's out, though.
I guess it doesn't matter if it's the CFL, the NFL. We saw Peyton Manning be very good at 40 plus years old, so let's go to Toronto. There's a pair of former Packers players on the Argonauts roster, wide receiver Torrey Gurley and offensive lineman Greg Van Roten. What's their impact on the Argonauts offense?
Yeah, Torrey Gurley is one of really three star young receivers that the Argonauts picked up last year with him, Vidal Hazelton, and Kevin Elliott, and they've all been very good. Gurley had over 700 yards receiving. He really is one of the star young guys in their receiving core. Of course, he's not that young. He's 28, but he's pretty new to the CFL, and he's a real threat for them. He's a big body. He's got good speed. He can make catches downfield. And his emergence and the emergence of those other guys is part of why Toronto parted ways with a long-tenured superstar receiver in Chad Owens in the offseason. So there's even more opportunity for guys like Gurley to step up. As for Van Roden, he's in a bit of an interesting spot right now. He's currently the starting center for the Argonauts, but that may be a spot that's difficult for him to hang on to, not because of anything to do with his play, but because he's an American guy. Center is usually a position filled by a Canadian, and it's one of the positions that's usually reserved for one of the Canadian players you have to start to make up your ratio. And Toronto has a very good backup in Sean McEwen, who they drafted third overall last year, who is Canadian. So Van Roden, it says something about his level of play that he's an American able to hold down that spot for now. But there will be some pressure on him as McEwen gets acclimatized to the league.
Interesting, those little rules about the international players versus the national players. I find that fascinating in the CFL. But we're talking to Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Andrew, at one point the Packers had running back Tyrell Sutton in their training camp, and I see he was actually a 1,000-yard rusher for the Montreal Alouettes last season. Does he seem to have found some place that fits his skill set?
Yeah, I think Tyrell Sutton's quite a good fit for this league. Obviously, he was a college star at Northwestern. He had a little bit of NFL success, but couldn't really get consistently earn a job. But the CFL looks to be a pretty good fit for him. He's a guy who seems to do well with quite a lot of carries, which is something that's important in the CFL, where most teams really only have one featured running back, just because there's so much more passing in the game. He's a guy who seems quite good at the pass blocking, which is also a vital part of the running back's role in the CFL, with it being so pass oriented, and he's really a key offensive weapon for the Montreal Alouettes, and looks to be their unquestioned starter at running back this year.
Very cool. I've noticed Adrian Hubbard is on the practice squad of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. When he originally entered the NFL with the Packers, I think there was some high hopes as someone who won a national championship in college at Alabama. I don't expect you to know a ton about a practice squad player, but just in general, what do you think it would take for him to break onto the roster of the Blue Bombers defense?
Well, Hubbard's an interesting guy because, like you mentioned, he had that success at Alabama, and then he did have that cup of coffee with the Packers. In both of those cases, though, he was working as an outside linebacker, and Winnipeg, on their practice roster, they list him as a defensive end. That's a transition that some people have been able to make very well. That's what Cameron Wake actually did when he came to Canada. He shifted from linebacker to defensive end and then went on to become the most dominant player in the CFL before leaving and heading back to the NFL. So the hope for Hubbard would be that he could adjust to that similar sort of role. He seems to have good ability rushing the passer, and that's what you really need as a defensive end in this league. And that's also why they've probably shifted him there from the linebacking core, because there's less opportunity for linebackers to rush on every down in the CFL. So Winnipeg has a pretty good defensive line already. It's not going to be easy for him to crack that group, but he certainly has impressive size. I think his height is something that's really in his favor. He's 6'6", which gives him a lot of ability to crowd the line and try and knock passes down. And if there's an injury or one of their guys falters, he may get a chance to step in.
Well, best of luck to him. Cornerback Josh Bell is a guy who was on the Packers roster when they won Super Bowl XLV, and now he plays for the Calgary Stampeders. How is the Stampeders defense doing with him in it?
Yeah, Josh Bell has been very good. He's been a key component in that Calgary defense. He's turned into one of the best defensive backs in this league. At the moment, he's dealing with a high ankle sprain, so there's a bit of injury concern there. But he's been very good in this league. He's been part of a very good Stampier's defense. He was a CFL West All-Star last year, and he looks to have a pretty important role in that secondary this year again.
Yeah, good to hear that these former Packers are doing well. A year ago, the Packers were in discussions with wide receiver Luke Tasker of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the son of Steve Tasker, you know, longtime, you know, all-star in the NFL. He ultimately chose to stay in the CFL, though, as opposed to doing a tryout with the Packers. Does it look like he made the correct choice?
I mean, It's a bit up in the air because you never know exactly how those tryouts are going to go. And if you are able to land in the NFL, that's obviously much more lucrative for you than playing in the CFL. CFL salaries are way, way smaller. However, the thing to consider is that the vast majority of CFL players who do get those tryouts, who do get even the off-season contracts, don't wind up sticking in the NFL for very long, and then they can somewhat hurt their CFL potential a bit, because if they get cut in September, all of a sudden CFL teams' rosters are much more set by that point, because the season's already been going on for a couple of months. And so usually it's tough for them to come back. It's tough for them to get as good of a deal, and it's tough for them to instantly make an impact. So I think Luke Tasker, he's been a very good CFL receiver. He seems to have found a great fit in Hamilton's really high-tempo passing offense. He's got some excellent quarterbacks throwing him the ball, including Zach Collaros and Jeremiah Mazzoli. And I think he chose to stick with that stability, and it's worked out well for him so far. I expect him to be a big piece for them this year as well. We will never know what could have happened if he'd gone the other way, but it does seem to be, he seems to be doing fine there.
One last question before we let you go, Andrew. You also write for a site called Awful Announcing, which is a website I love. Can you just tell us a little bit more about your role there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a staff writer for Awful Announcing. I do a lot of the afternoon shifts there, so we cover all sorts of sports media news, everything from ratings to which talent's moving from network to network, bigger issues such as cord cutting, and how networks are dealing with it and that sort of thing. And I get to work on some pretty cool projects as well. The one I've just finished, I'm very proud of, that I worked on with my colleagues, is an oral history of the guys who heckled Stephen A. Smith at the NBA draft. So that may be worth checking out for a few people.
Very good. We'll send people there to check it out. Andrew, again, thanks so much. You got plans for the Canada Day weekend?
Oh, I'm going to be watching a lot of football.
Well, there's worse things to do than that. I love doing that myself. So enjoy it. Thanks for joining us. And whenever we got a CFL question, I'm coming to you.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me, Brian.
Thank you. Take care. Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada joining us here on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Obviously, there's not been much going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers the past few days, but I do have a little addendum to our last episode of Railbird Central when we talked about the possibility of the Packers and the NFL as a whole going to a 17-game regular season schedule. So, last episode, we noted Packers president Mark Murphy's remarks about the league eliminating one preseason game and adding a 17th regular season game. Now, Murphy said the 17th game could be played internationally, so neither team would have to give up a home game. Naturally, the website Pro Football Talk picked up on the story and posted about it, eliciting a response from someone in the Players Union, Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs George Atala, who more or less laughed at the proposal on social media. This is notable in that the Players Association would have to approve any big change like this, like adding a 17th game. This would happen in the next collective bargaining agreement. Now, the argument against it goes against safety. You know, they say adding the 17th game is, you know, there's more of a chance for players to get hurt. But I'm not sure how much I really buy into that, because while they are eliminating, or they are eliminating a preseason game. I know starters in football don't play a ton in the preseason, but it's not like they don't play at all in them. So really, there's not a ton of extra exposure to injury. There's a little bit, but not a ton. So regardless, the league and the NFLPA would have to agree on this proposal, and that likely means the NFL would have to concede something pretty big to the players in the next time they negotiate in a few years. What they would have to give up, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe more money, maybe less control by the commissioner over disciplinary matters that's been talked about quite a bit. We will see. So there's your little bit of update on something we talked about on the last episode of Railbird Central. Where it goes from here, I'm not sure. This will probably be a very slow-moving topic. Like we said, nothing will be happening for certain until the next CBA, which is years down the road. We're talking like 5 years down the road here. So, but it is always fun to speculate about what might happen. But in other Packers news happening right now, happening lately at least, the NFL announced that quarterback Aaron Rodgers would indeed appear in the top 10 of the NFL Network's annual top 100 players list. And that will be revealed on the final episode next Wednesday. I believe the date of that would be July 6th. So they didn't say what number he would come in at, just that he would appear in the last episode. So somewhere in the top 10. And yeah, of course, this is coming from the department of no duh. You know, obviously we could have anticipated this happening. But just to drum up a little bit of interest, the NFL has already acknowledged, in fact, all the top 10 players. And I don't have them all in front of me here, but, you know, Tom Brady and J.J. Watt and others are all going to be, you know, featured in this season finale episode of the top 100 list that they do every year here. So will be very interesting to see where Aaron Rodgers ends up falling on that list. And in anticipation of that day, I can tell you this. I've already scheduled for next Wednesday a guest on the show, Alex Gelhar of NFL.com, to talk about the NFL Network's top 100 list. So you can look forward to that. I'm excited to have him join us on the show for the first time ever. Somebody, an employee of the NFL, to talk a little Aaron Rodgers and Packers football and the NFL in general. So that'll actually be our next episode, because we will not have an episode next Monday, which is Independence Day here in America. Yeah, there will be no episode on the 4th of July, as I celebrate, and I assume you will be as well. So looking forward to next Wednesday being the next episode of Railbird Central. But that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
Obviously, there's not much going on locally over the 4th of July weekend in the world of the Green Bay Packers. As players are on vacation and everything, so there's not a whole lot of events going on. But I did find this out in Los Angeles. Packers quarterback Brett Hundley has been promoted as appearing at the Laced Facts Youth Football Camp on Friday, so today, July 1st, at the Redondo Performing Arts Center in Redondo Beach, California. Hundley, of course, is a former UCLA player, so his connection to Los Angeles, or Southern California at least, makes perfect sense. Last I saw, registration has ended for the event, so don't anticipate taking your kid there and participating or anything like that. But Hundley, at least, will still be taking part as far as I know. More information can be found on the Laced Facts social media outlets. Laced Facts on Twitter. That's LACEDFACTS. That's all one word. And then on Facebook, at facebook.com/lacedfacts, if you're interested in finding out more information. I've also seen photographs of Packers defensive lineman Dayton Jones on their social media websites. I don't know whether that means he is actually taking part in this youth event, or they're just kind of holding him up as a Southern California native himself. I'm not sure. All I know is I've seen on their social media that Brett Hundley will be there. So Hundley, like many players during this time period, are going back to their hometowns or their alma maters or whatever to spend a little bit of off time before training camp starts, before coming back to Green Bay. This is, common for players all over the roster, that they get out of town. I mean, there's certainly maybe a few players here and there that stick around locally, just because now they make Green Bay their home or whatever. But a lot, take advantage of this time period to go back to their hometowns or go back to their colleges where they played football just for a little time off and catch up with friends and family that they haven't seen for a while and may not once the season starts again, because it's all a grind once training camp begins. Pretty much from late July to early January, or whenever your team is eliminated from the playoffs or playoff contention. So, from that point on, it's always a grind in the NFL. But that'll do it pretty much for today's episode of Railbird Central here during the off season. Obviously, I know this is one of the shortest episodes we've had in quite a while, but during this time in the off season, there's no new developments to talk about. But we will soon have plenty to talk about within less than a month's time. Training camp will start, and we'll start to look forward to training camp here as well. In the next few days, as we break down positions and players and things like that, so you can look forward to that. But already looking forward to our next episode on Wednesday, talking about Aaron Rodgers in the top 100 list. So look forward to that. Railbird Central airing typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up and give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but we'd greatly appreciate it if you did, because it helps us get word out about the show. And that's what I ultimately want. Packers fans finding the best Packers podcast on the internet, in my opinion. So have a happy Independence Day weekend. Have a happy Canada Day if you live in Canada. Wherever you are, have a good weekend and enjoy some red, white, and blue, and enjoy some hot dogs and apple pie, or whatever you would like to do. Shoot off some fireworks on Independence Day weekend. See you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Humphreys McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.